Every single day I feel
the Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yo. Working like I never know I'm blessed, yo. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome to the Woody Mayer Show here in Dallas Studio. It's your boy C-Rock kicking it off again, man. We're just rocking. I do these shows for you. You know, I've been through these so many times that I'm not doing this for me anymore. I'm doing this for you, the listener. I want to bring you the journeys of successful people so that you can hear what it actually takes for success, so that when you come across a setback, a hurdle, a discouragement, I want you to keep going. That's the common theme that we keep hearing from all of our guests, is that they just kept persisting, maybe adjusting, pivoting is a common word, you know, since the pandemic, and they just keep going, and they don't look at a failure as final. Failures gather to, you know, a data gathering situation, so that you can go at back the next time with the new data and hopefully get closer to success. So that's what we're going to continue to do here. I just want to thank all of you for listening or watching, however you're consuming this content. I'm just excited that I have the opportunity to pour into you and have guests that pour into you. So today we have another great guest. Dan Gordon's in the building. And you know, what are badass entrepreneurs made of? Well, you're about to find out. Get ready to step into the fire with Coach Dan Gordon. He's also got a new program out. He was just telling me about before the show, No Douchebag Selling. Can't wait to get into that. Sell like a badass, not like a douche. You're a badass entrepreneur. You want more clients, but selling makes you feel like disgusting. Well, he'll fix that for you. Dan, welcome to the show.
Mr. C-Rock, man, I am so pumped to be here. We've played this game back and forth of, okay, I'm sick, you're out, right? We finally got this months later. I'm just so thrilled to be talking to you and your audience. Let's get into it, man.
Yeah, man, let's go. Yeah, you know, like the illnesses and then travel. Like I'm going to on a trip the 29th, and I have a whole week that something just comes up that says, hey, you got to be this place, right? Whether it's an event or meetings. And I'm the kind of guy that makes quick decisions. So, you know, I had this whole week of podcasts, probably like, I don't know, 5 to 8 podcasts that week of the 29th. And I gotta go to these people and say, hey, I gotta reschedule. But it is what it is, you know?
I'm doing one of those tomorrow. Yeah. I'm going to a leadership training, and like same thing, like about a week before, like, okay, it's 10K to do this thing, but I gotta be there. So
yeah.
I'm off.
Well, you know, it's like this thing, like, you know, you just got to make decisions that take you closer to your mission. And
if
the podcasts are important, the people are on stand, and they'll reschedule, and then you'll get it done at some point. So anyway, I want to start off the show the right way, Dan. And that's with the question that we always ask. What are you made of?
Okay. I'm made of some badass shit. And the truth about that is I wasn't always. I was a fragile kid. And in my early 30s, I took a look at my life and I said, look, if I don't make some changes now, this is it for the rest of my life. Things don't just change as you get older. You change or you don't. And so what I'm made of is stepping into the fire. Like, this is what I'm doing with this leadership conference, right? I haven't had my ass kicked in quite a while, right? I haven't been challenged. And these people are badass. And I know there may be some snot and tears on the carpet moments at this thing, but I am ready for it, right? I want to go through the fire.
And you don't have to tell me the whole company or that, but like, what's the name of the person, like the first name? Because I have a friend that's doing a leadership thing in LA coming up.
No, it's in Boise.
Oh, this is in Boise. Okay.
Right, yeah. Okay. His name is Dan, so it's got to be good, right?
Yeah, is it Dan with an Adrian?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're friends of mine now. And they're also clients.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, they're also clients. That's wild, man. Yeah, no,
listen, I love those guys.
I have had conversations with them. I had Adrian on the show so far. Dan will be coming on soon. And like the philosophy that they use and where Dan got his training from and all that. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
I'm full. You're going to the right place. I can tell you that.
Well, you know, here's the thing. And this is more of what I'm made of. And I mean, this is more about your audience. I found these people on a podcast, right? I actually found them on another podcast. Like Adrian was on a podcast. I really liked him. So I followed him to his podcast. And then in listening to his podcast, they start talking about this event. And I'm like, I'm going to do this. Right. And so this is saying yes. It's not going, well, maybe, or I don't know, or later, or let me think about it. It's saying yes. And you have to say yes a lot. And the thing is, when you say yes a lot, like I do, and like you do, you make what? A shit ton of mistakes, right? You spend a lot of money that doesn't exactly go anywhere. You do things that don't quite work out. But the thing is, look, I've studied successful people all of my professional career, and that's what they do. They say yes, and they dive in. You have to.
Where's the line to say no? Like, you hear this thing, like, you know, successful people know how to say no, and they say no a lot. Like, what's, right. Where's the line with that?
Okay. How you learn to say no is saying yes to a lot of things and then discovering what doesn't work. And then you start to get a feel for it. But like, you don't get that until you make a lot of mistakes. Like, you know, how does anybody get good at basketball, right? They suck at it for a long time and they get better, right? If you want to get better at making good decisions, you're going to have to make a lot of bad decisions first. And the key in making bad decisions is self-forgiveness. You're going to screw up. You're going to spend money that doesn't seem to be of value. You're going to waste time. People are going to be disappointed in you. You have to forgive yourself and say, this is a part of my training. This is how I learn. And the people who beat themselves up will just, it's like hitting a brick wall. They will not keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. 100%, man. So, Dan, where did it all start for you? Like, everybody's got a story. What's your story?
I think the most pivotal part of my story happened about eight years ago when I was a man in a very unusual position. I was face down on my carpet in a pool of snot and tears, because I just lost my marketing company, the Big Time Group. In a month, I lost $80,000. I was another 30 something thousand dollars in debt. I was really looking at destitution. Like I had nothing. And what happened is I realized eventually that I was in that situation because I created it. And that's a core essence of my life. Any situation that I'm in, it's not circumstances. It's not other people. It's not bad luck. I freaking created it. And I created it for a beautiful purpose. Now, it's hard to see that beautiful purpose when I was having this emotional meltdown. But what I realized is I was in the wrong business, right? I hate marketing. I'm just really good at it, right? But it was never supposed to be a freaking career, right? That's not what I was put on this earth for. So I decided that I was going to do what I had been good at for years and years, which is being in the changing people's lives business. Right? I used to fly around the country teaching these 3-day intensive personal development seminars, but I wanted to do that with entrepreneurs. So jumping to the end of the story, 8 months later, almost to that day of being on the floor of snot and tears, I walked out on stage in Dallas, Texas, being paid $10,000 for my very first speaking gig. Now, the journey from the floor to the stage was massive transformation. And that's my game. That's my jam. That's what I do every day with my clients, is I put them in a space of massive transformation. And that's why I only work with badass entrepreneurs, much like yourself.
So they had to be badass before they start working with you? Or do you just say everybody's got badass in them? And you just draw it out.
No, everybody does not have bad. Look, I hate to say this, but the framers of this country was wrong. All men are not created equal. There are some people who just don't have it. There are people who live a life of cowardice, and they hold on to that with both hands. The people that I work with have already made a lot of mistakes, right? They've already tried things that didn't work out. They've already pushed themselves beyond the edge of their comfort zones, right? You have to, like, that's your ticket in. And if you're looking to become a badass, I mean, I'll have a conversation with you and I'll talk to you about how to do that. But you have to be ready to hit the ground running, because my chief goal, personal goal, when I work with a client is getting them paid back for what they're paying me, right? If I am not getting you paid back, look, I'll say it this way. If any business coach is not getting you paid back for what you're paying them, they're a fraud. Right? They're not a business coach because they're not elevating your business. And if they say to you, well, you should have worked harder or you didn't, they're blaming you, right? I take responsibility for the growth of my clients. And that's something that makes me unique in this field, right? If it's not working, it's my fault and I make the changes, not my clients.
Extreme ownership. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That's the way to be. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what that does? Most people don't realize you're either a puppet or a puppet master.
Oh, I love that.
Right. And so yeah. I always choose, I'm not going to be a puppet. I'm never going to be a puppet. Okay. Well, if that's the case, I can't blame. I can't be a victim. I have to take extreme ownership, because to the degree I don't take extreme ownership, there's still a string attached to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a puppet.
Right. So,
you know, that's the imagery I like to use with it. Reminds myself that I don't want to be a freaking puppet. So,
you know, I do these daily videos that I put out on LinkedIn and everything. And today's video was called Rude is Right. Right. Because people are going to accuse. I bet people have accused you of being rude, C-Rock.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Sure. Right. But think of Nelson Mandela, Dr. King, Mother Teresa, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, right? People, they are targets. And so if you want to step into leadership, if you want to make a big splash in the world, you can't be hindered by the rules that most people live by that were given to them as children and they still follow, even though they don't know why. So people call me rude. They say I'm full of myself. They say I'm a narcissist. Like, I get all those judgments. But what I look at is the aggregate. Am I helping people? Oh, hell yeah. Are people making money with me? Yeah. Are they becoming leaders with me? Yeah. So I don't give a damn about other people's judgments. It's a part of the game.
So take me on this journey. Okay. So you're laying on a floor, right? Victimhood.
Oh, we're
right?
back there.
Speaking
all
victimese.
Right.
I just saw this thing. Somebody was... I'm reading the book, Brian Johnson's book, and he has a lot of different thought leaders and you know, mentors in this book. But somebody was talking about victimese, speaking victimese.
I love that term.
So you were in that victim mentality, speaking victimese. And then take us through, like, so when you decided to change it, right, there's a journey that you go on and you wake up in the morning, you feel some good days and some bad days when you wake up in the morning. Like, take us through the emotions of that journey until you got into the spot where you were ready to start speaking on stage, get paid to speak on stage and coach people.
Okay. So my victimese was a guy, Alon. So I hired Alon in my marketing company to be the social media director. And also he was helping me because he was a really good closer. All right. Now, what it turned out, though, is that Alon was a pathological liar. Right. So the reason, the immediate reason that the business crashed is because we couldn't do anything that we promised. Right. When I realized he was pathological, of course, I fired him, but I had to go back to all of my clients and say, look, we can't do all right. So it would be really easy to say it was his fault. Right. If it wasn't for him, everything would have been okay. But getting out of victimese is asking myself the question, why did I hire him, right? If you look, if you want to know your intentions, Mike, look at your results. My results was that my business failed. So my intention must have been that I wanted it to fail. That's the exploration that I went on that got me out of being a victim, that got me from blaming Alon to not blaming myself, but saying, why did I do this? Okay. I started working backwards and I started thinking there were a lot of red flags with this guy that I completely ignored. Well, why? Because I was wanting him to crash the business so I could get out of it. Right. So everything that I did, and this is true, we set up the chessboard of our lives, right? And then someone sits down on the other side of the chessboard. And if they checkmate us, it's because that's how we set up the pieces. Right. So if you're willing to look at your world that way, and if you are willing to take that level of responsibility, you are free. As you say, you are not the puppet master. My freedom in going from victim to victim free was accepting the fact that my choice was to hire him so I could get out of that business because I didn't have the courage at the time to walk away. And that gave me the freedom and the knowledge to then look at the things I was doing in my life. Like, the reason I got that speaking gig was because I sat down with the vice president of that company and he was telling me what he was looking for in a speaker. And a part of me said, well, I should just say, yeah, that's what I'll do. But I'm like, he's wrong. And I know he's wrong. He was talking about a wrong, you know, his audience was not the right audience for the thing that he needed a different type of speaker. And so I said, sir, with all due respect, That's not what you need out of a speaker. And I spent the next 15 minutes explaining exactly what a speaker should be doing. And I said, look, whoever you hire, make sure that they do that. And I went to get my coat, right? Because I'm, you know, there's no way I'm getting this gig. And he turns to the guy next to him and he goes, hire this guy. He's the real deal. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I just spent 15 minutes telling this guy he's wrong. And I got hired. Like, it was so counterintuitive. But that's like, and then that's how I just began living my life. I'm going to tell you the truth. And if the truth is not what you want to hear, I'm not the right guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I like it. I like authenticity. You know, I live my life with authenticity because clearly, that's what I expect from other people. So if I don't do it myself, I'm not going to get it from other people.
Yeah.
You know, but that emotional journey though, you didn't get into like the waking up in the morning some days, like, what am I doing?
Oh, I've been there, day. Right?
Like,
yeah.
Take us through that part and how that's evolved.
Yeah. You know, there's this movie called The Secret, right? And in The Secret, it's a cool movie. They talk about what they call the law of attraction. It's not a law, it's an idea. Okay. Now, in that movie, they talk about you just wish for something and it happens, right? The law of attraction. What they don't share in that movie, which I want to make a movie called The Dirty Secret, because The Dirty Secret is, in between you making your intention and getting it, there is waking up at 3 a.m. and pacing back and forth going, what the hell am I doing? There's watching your bank account dwindle, right? There's your partner, your wife, the people who love you going, are you sure that this is what you should be doing? Right? There is a ton of uncertainty. So yeah, that's what I was suffering with. I was suffering from clinical depression. I was sitting on my couch, ironically watching the show Lost, right? It took a while. It took 8 months, but I kept putting myself back into the fire, Mike. I kept saying, I am recreating myself. I'm wiping the whiteboard clean of who I was and building this new person, right? So yeah, there's a tremendous amount of fear and uncertainty, but I had done this long enough, this kind of thing. This is at the highest level. I've been done this, that I knew if I stay in it, there's something good on the other side. If I stay in it, I'm going to get something. And the thing that I know is that failure is the middle of the story, not the end of the story. And if you quit at failure, it's like this. Imagine you're watching Star Wars and the Millennium Falcon gets sucked into the Death Star and boom, the credits roll, lights up, movie's over. You'd be like, hey, wait a second. It's not the end of the movie. It's the middle. Like, what happens to everybody? The same is true of you. You who are listening. The soul-crushing failure is the middle of the story, right? You got to hang out with it so you can get a medal from Princess Leia, right? There is something waiting for you if you stay in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I lost a friend last week. I would have never suspected that he would have did this thing that he did to end it. Oh. And I just like look at the surface and you see people's surface most of the time on social media, right? And you're judging. Everybody's judging and comparing.
Right.
And I have this saying, and I'd love to hear your take on this. It's never as good as other people see you as, and it's never as bad as you think it is while you're going through it.
Oh, God, that's right? Really well
because
said,
you feel
brother.
Like sometimes you're in the midst of adversity, the less light at the end of the tunnel do you see.
Yeah.
And I always say keep going, too. You keep going, keep going, keep going. But the other thing is, you know, you'll have other people's looking in from the outside, and they're like, oh, this dude's got it made. He's killing it. He's crushing it, or, you know. So I was reminded of that this past week because I would have never suspected my friend would have did that based on, you know, working with Bob Proctor and being into that mindset and understanding. It just, it's an interesting thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, my guess is at some level that your friend, former friend now is living a life of fear. And he is probably unwilling to look at the parts of himself that he judges. And instead, he's judging you.
No, 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 no. This is a gentleman, just to clarify, that like took his life.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah,
I am so sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I
I wasn't
so
clear enough.
Unbelievably clear sorry.
Enough. Yeah, no, I wasn't clear enough. So that's what I'm saying. I would have never suspected a friend that, like, forget about the friend part, like for himself, like what he was doing and how he was helping people and coaching people and creating a mastermind and building a business. And then,
okay.
And then to hear this news was like,
let me shift then.
This guy?
Look, there was a time in my life where more than once that I thought about taking my life. I mean, I remember in the depth of my depression after losing my company, I was walking down Western Avenue here in LA, and I was walking over the 10. I thought I should just throw myself off the bridge, right? It's not that hard to get into a spiral of feeling hopeless.
Yeah.
And I don't know your friend, and I'm not going to supposition anything. But what I will say is that hopelessness happens when you don't ask for help. Mm-hmm. And when it's time to ask for help, it's when you are the least motivated to ask for help. And so just know this. This is the little red light on your dash that goes off. If you're feeling bad, ask for help. You will not want to. You will feel embarrassed. You will feel a lot of self-judgment. You'll call a friend and you'll start talking and just you'll feel crappy about yourself. But when you begin to share your struggles, it begins to look. When I was on the floor in snot and tears, I picked up my phone. I called my friend Laura Lee and I said, "What do I do?" She's the one who said, "What do you want to do?" And I'm like, "I want to be a coach." And she's like, "Do it." Right? I don't know what would have happened without her.
So when you're going through that, because I've never been to that bad situation. I felt bad before. I've been through a lot in my life, but I never did because I keep reminding myself, you know what I keep reminding myself? I always remind myself, no matter how bad it gets, is that the worst case scenario is I came into this world butt naked, not knowing how to speak, no relationships, no experience, and I made it. Now, if I had to go back to being broke, butt naked, I could speak. By the way, listeners, please do not imagine or visualize what I just talked about. but like now I have relationships, I have experience, I have a language, I'm able to communicate. I've been put on this planet to create by an all-powerful creator. So that's what I remind myself of. And so what is it like when you get to that hopeless feeling? Like, and by the way, I've had a lot of family, you know, family and friends go through that and actually do that. Okay. So I've had a lot of experience being around that, but I still can't wrap my head around how do you actually get that bad? Like, I don't know, you know,
I'm going to talk about you, Mike. Like I know you better than I do. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
You have that's built in you a level of faith that most people don't have. You have a level of confidence to, as I call it, fall backwards into the arms of God. Mm-hmm. And at that time, when I was suffering on the floor, I did not have that. I do now. Mm-hmm. And call it God, the universe, happenstance, whatever you who are listening want to call it, there's some level of security that happens in surrender. And what I believe about you, Mike, is that you have an ability to surrender at a level that most people don't have. To have a level of certainty that things are going to work out that most people don't have. That no matter what, you're going to be okay. And I have that now, but I didn't then. And gotcha. I find that the people that I work with who are suffering in that way do not believe that there is a light at the end of the tunnel or goodness in their future. And I know that no matter what happens, there is goodness in my future. My boat will right itself. And I will, at some point, wake up in the morning excited about my day, have a great day, and go to sleep at night looking forward to the next day. And even when I'm in despair, because I still suffer with depression, I know that that future is waiting for me, and that gives me the confidence and courage to continue on.
Yeah, you know, I think there's kind of like a hell on earth and a heaven on earth, and it's you know, when you don't have that hope. See, the thing is that it feels permanent sometimes when you're going through that setback.
It right? does,
and it's right. not. But the permanent part is if you do end your life, that's permanent. So yes, if you don't want you don't, permanent,
yeah,
keep going, right.
Right. And you have that. I think it's built in you, Mike. I think it's built in you that this is not the end and this is not permanent. At the depths of despair, there were times where I believed that this is how I was going to live my life for the rest of my life. And of course, I didn't want that pain. Of course, I thought about ending it. Now I know that's just not true. It's just not true. Like things will get better.
And the depression part, like one of the things that somebody was talking about, I think it was actually Dan. You're probably going to hear this in a leadership training. I think I saw one of Dan's videos recently. Was it Dan? Somebody was talking about hugging a cactus.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah. That's
so like
hugging the cactus, man. I love it.
So when I'm down emotionally, I don't stay chronically down emotionally.
Yeah.
It's acute, if anything. But when I do it, you know, I'm a freak, man. I start to say to myself, man, let me really sink into this and enjoy this for a minute. Let's see if I can enjoy this. And I start thinking to myself, like, this is before I even heard hug the cactus. But I start like, wow, you know, this is I'm very grateful that I get to experience this range of emotions.
Yes.
And then, you know, so it's kind of a concept of leaning into hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to run from you when you do that.
Yeah. So the other part of asking for help is that I look for different help modalities, things to make me better. And one of the things I've found that I was really surprised works and works well is a thing called NuCalm. And it is what's called binaural beats. It's this thing on your phone and you listen to these sounds. It's like music. And I was drag kicking and screaming at this because it sounded like a bunch of crap. But then I found that who's using this? The Department of Defense, Special Forces, Navy SEALs, like people with a lot more stress than I'll ever have. And I started using this thing. And it improves my focus, improves my sleep, reduces my stress, and optimizes my performance. So I got in touch with a company, and like you got to tell me about this thing. They put me in touch with the CEO, Jim Poole, and Jim talked about the 40 years that they put into developing this, the fact that it's a class 3 medical device, the fact that 50 different professional sports teams use it. And I said, I want to talk about this. Everybody goes, great. And so they gave me an ability to give people a free trial of this. And so I tell everybody about it. I want everybody to use it. All you got to do is text the word CALM, C-A-L-M, to this number, 213-409-8366. 213-409-8366. Text the word CALM, C-A-L-M, and you'll get a free trial. They are partnering with Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, all of these professional sports teams, the military. Like, this is no kidding around. There's a lot of binaural beats company, but this is the only one that really works. Like, look, I don't get a ton of sleep, but I do this one thing called rescue for 30 minutes in the morning. And it's like having 6 hours of restorative sleep.
Wow.
It affects your brain waves. And look, like I said, it sounded hokey, but I started using it. It has changed everything for me. Like I'm taking a flight to tomorrow. I don't have a problem with flying, but I love to use that time on the plane to supercharge myself before I do this event in Boise. So look, there's a lot of stuff out there. You got to try it.
Yeah.
So please text CALM, C-A-L-M, 213-409-8366. I don't get anything out of this. Just, you got to try it. I want the company to do well.
Thank you for that. So as we wind down here, I got to ask you this final question. I like to ask guests that do podcasts and go on guests. Yeah, no, podcast is guests.
Yeah.
And by the way, go to dangordonenterprise.com, guys. Go to dangordonenterprise.com. And also, he's on LinkedIn, gordon.coach/LinkedIn. Check him out. Go ahead.
Yeah. You can just do a search for Coach Dan Gordon. I'm everywhere.
Yeah, go get him. All right, Dan. So podcasting as a guest, going on shows, what have you seen it do for you? And you're like personally and for business, what are the results?
Two really important things, Mike. One is that I have become better at compacting the value that I have to share. Like you're fortunate that I've done a ton of crappy podcasts, But we all have value. We all have something very important to share. The mistake that most people make is the way that they share it is far too verbose, right? They lose people in it. So in sharing my message and getting interviewed, I listen to it. So if you're on a podcast, you have to listen to it because you'll see how to get better, right? That's been one thing. And the other thing is absolutely, it is up my brand. People are coming to me because my company's really good at SEO, at Google My Business. So people are coming to me, but they're also checking out me on lots of other podcasts. So podcasting is great for your brand, but you have to be on good podcasts. You have to, and look, you're not going to get them on your own. You have to work with a company that's going to really funnel you into good podcasts, right? You got to invest in yourself and you have to keep at it and get good at it.
And there's nothing wrong with going on new shows when you first start, because it's just kind of like on social media when you first start doing Instagram lives or YouTube videos, you're going to suck at first. Nobody's good at first.
Yeah. And
you got to go practice, put the reps in. I've been on over 900 podcasts in the last 4.5 years. Okay. Damn. I didn't say no to any of them. Okay. If somebody asked me to come on a show and it was their first show, think about this, Dan. I went on people's show because number one, I would have to pay somebody if I'm at my studio here, right? I'd have to pay somebody to come interview me on a video if I wanted to create content with somebody interviewing me. So I looked at it as like, hey, you're going to be willing to interview me? That's the first thing. I'll take it. And number two, I'm going to take that content and I'm going to push it out there and get omnipresence with it despite the podcast. Okay. I'm not going to rely on that show being a big show. And then number three, this is one of the most powerful ones. That person that you say yes to on their first podcast or one of their first, and if you made it a little bit further, you know, you're successful. Mm-hmm. Imagine what they're going to think of you and the hero that you're going to be to them, that one person. And I still to this day, if somebody asks me to come on their show, I don't care what genre it is. I don't care what, like how many shows they even have or downloads. I say yes. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so much from this. Matter of fact, I got to tell you another story real quick.
Yeah.
I was on a podcast. And I didn't really think that it was like the greatest podcast in the world, but I said yes to it. And now I'm doing business with this young lady.
Hmm.
And because I said yes to the podcast, now I'm generating revenue and helping her and she's helping me. And if I said no, because it was a smaller podcast with no listeners, I wouldn't have had that.
Right.
So you know what I mean? So there's different ways to look at things, I guess, for people, because you know, in our business we deal with the same thing. Like people want to be on certain shows and this and that, but they're just missing out on some of that. So
right, you know, and with my show, and this is important to me. If you're getting on podcasts, bring value. You know, I mean, look, you asked me about my history, so I talked about that, but I don't always just talk about me. Bring value, like, you know, with sharing the Newcom thing, right? Bring value. And look, by the way, if you want to, I have a book that I love giving out. It's called, it's all about killing the stories that we tell ourselves, that stop ourselves. It's called Jumping the Gap from where you are to where you want to be. And just text GAP, G-A-P, to that same number, 213-409-8366. It's value, right? You're not going to be put in a funnel. I'm not going to ask you to buy anything. You just get the book. Right? Bring value to the audience. And that's something that I learned. It's critical.
100%. But I got to tell you, the stories that you told, to me, value, because people are going through that and they're like, well, I'm not alone. And look where Dan is now. And he got through it. If he did it, I could do it. You know, that's value too. You know,
I appreciate that. I have a little alarm that goes off in my head when I talk about myself too much. And it was placed there. Yeah.
Stories, dude. Great storytellers are some of the best business people and some of the best helpers. And
right on.
So anyway, Dan, thank you for being here, man. I appreciate your time on here and I look forward to collaborating with you here in the future.
Yeah. C-Rock, this is great. I love what you do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do for entrepreneurs, which is a lot. I really appreciate your show, brother.
Thank you. All right. Hang tight while I wrap this up. Hey, listener, listen to me. I want to thank you for being here. I want to give you the, you know, gratitude right now because you spend time with us and then you're also investing in yourself, paying attention, investing time in yourself, which is the world, means the world to me. So keep coming back. Make sure you like and subscribe and come follow me on Instagram at Mikey C Rock. And of course, go check out Coach Dan Gordon. You can Google him. You can find all his content and information out there. And I'm going to give you that number one more time. You can text CALM and text GAP for both the opportunities to 213-409-8366. 213-409-8366. It's your boy C-Rock signing off. And until next time, be that one.